Welcome to From Zero to Millions, Accounting Edition. I am Bilal Mihana.
And I'm Kelly Roars. We're here to share our wealth of knowledge on running a public accounting firm. Whether you're a seasoned CPA, an aspiring accountant, or a business owner seeking financial guidance, join us for valuable insights and practical advice.
Let's dive in.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of From Zero to Millions Accounting Edition. On this week's episode, Bilal and I have on Roman Villard, CPA. He is the founder of Full Send Finance. He's got well over a decade of experience in the industry, super passionate about being an entrepreneur, as we found out most of our guests are, and he thrives on collaborating with growth-focused businesses, forward-thinking in accounting, and his financial data services. We're so grateful to have you on the show today.
I'm stoked to be here. It's fun. I love conversations like this.
Awesome. Like we usually do, we'd love to just get started with your background. I've seen that you've been in public accounting for, like I said, over a decade, and you started out in auditing. So let's do the short version of, like, where did you come from? How did you get into accounting? And then we could talk about this awesome business you've created.
Yeah, gosh, the short version of public accounting. Is there a short version? Because every year feels very long. But I spent 8 years in public accounting. Coming out of university, there were only two options, right? Audit or tax. And I'm a bit more outspoken, driven than maybe other folks. And so audit was naturally the path for me because I see most tax accountants as, like, very introspective. That was my perception of the industry. So I went audit. That was my only option, I thought. I spent 8 long years there, probably 5 years too many, but learned many, many great things along the way, put in a lot of hours, learned under some wonderful leaders, really how to audit and audit standards and gap accounting. And that was instrumental to where my career would go after public. But what it didn't teach me was how to do accounting, how to put the puzzle together. It taught me what the finished puzzle looked like. So from there, I then jumped into the consultancy side of things as a VP of business development, which is a wild transition. And then did that for 2 firms and started my own firm last year.
Interesting. So you started basically trying to figure out your way into an entrepreneurship journey before you started your firm, correct?
I was very interested in entrepreneurship. I never jumped in any type of entrepreneurship endeavor before starting my firm in 2022. My dad was an entrepreneur growing up, so I had him as an example for 30 years, kind of seeing that journey. But it wasn't really until I started working with founders, early stage venture capital backed businesses, where I started to get a little bit more of that excitement around potentially doing my own thing.
So you started about 2 years plus ago. And before we start recording, you mentioned that you have 2 kids, 3-year-old and a 6-month-old. And this is the second guest we have on that started the firm with having basically 1 newborn. And also he was an auto background too, Tony, right?
And myself, really. We have to just throw that out there. I was like, all right, let's do this.
Make it work. It's more crazier. So for a single person that been public accounting for a few years, it's easy to start their own firm. You just started with having kids. Obviously, bills come through and all those different things. What went through your mind when you wanted to start from scratch? Obviously, nothing comes in beginning of the month. How did that journey start? What was your business plan? What was your target niche? And how did that develop over time from where you started until now?
I wish I had a really big master plan that I could say, Bilal, this was the journey. This is what I set out to do. And this is what I really wanted to focus on from the day that I said to my wife, I think this might be something I might have interest in. Because it really was a joint decision that we took over a month to deliberate and talk about and try to understand, like, how would it impact our home life, our finances, our ability to watch, manage, teach kids how to grow and evolve. Because that's far more important to me than anything I'll ever do with work, is making sure that the family is taken care of. But when we came to conclusion that marching down this entrepreneurship journey was something that we wanted to commit to, we basically set a 1-year timeline to say, all right, we're going to dedicate a year to this. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But I'm going to put my time into it to try to make it work. So from day one, I really recognized a pattern in the industry as it relates to branding, messaging, general digital presence and the way in which that may or may not attract individuals to work for those firms. And so I placed a lot of emphasis on how the brand was presented to the market. Very fun, very different, very culture forward, that really kind of led to be a differentiator. And then I started marching down the path, what I knew in the accounting space of what do I feel comfortable with services wise? What type of target market do I align with? Do I feel comfortable with talking to, which just happened to be early stage venture capital backed companies at that point in time. So those were the linchpin ideas of getting launched.
So basically, when you've left your last public accounting company, you start working with startups or venture backed companies. So you kind of had a couple of years into this and, okay, this is my expertise. How did you find those clients? Did you end up finding clients first before you started, or you started with no promises at all?
No, I had no clients starting out. I actually spent 2 months on internal operations and setting up internal workflows and trying to make sure that the client experience was really smooth before I ever went public with the firm and offering myself to be open to taking clients. So no client-facing activity for 2 months after I started. And my network was really instrumental to launching and starting to get my name out there, because I'd spent 4 or 5 years in business development and sales for other firms prior to launching my own firm. So I had a really good pulse as to how do I cast a net to start potentially reeling in a couple of fish. And to be honest, it was a very wide net at first, and just taking opportunities of things that I felt comfortable in versus being hyper-focused on a specific niche and or service.
Wow, what an inspiration. I mean, you have this young family, you have no clients, you and your wife say, let's do it, let's take this leap. You don't even go out there and look for new business for 2 months. You just get your house in order, which I think is an amazing place to start, because it's so important to have systems and processes in place and software and all of these things before you get going, because I think that's a pitfall of a lot of people when they go out on their own. It's like you are so worried about getting the client work done and making the clients happy and meeting deadlines or what have you, that, you know, a lot of the systems and everything goes to the wayside, and then it becomes more difficult to hire staff and scale. So that's amazing. Kudos to you.
I will say, though, in what's transpired over the last 2 years, the iterations and changes that have occurred, the ways that we've had to reinvent ourselves, is a stark contrast to where I started. You know, that 2 months that I spent on internal operations, there are some flavors of what I did that still exist today, but by far and large, we're a completely different firm operationally and workflow-wise than what I had originally envisioned at that point in time.
Yeah, I think yesterday or at some point this week, I saw a video, I think, on Instagram. Full of wisdom, right? This was really great that everything is constantly growing and evolving. Like the universe is constantly growing. The trees are growing. You know, you grow older. And I just felt like everything, whether you as a person is constantly growing, but our businesses are constantly growing and developing too and changing. And we have to constantly evolve to not only keep up with the times, but just keep up with the different places that we are in our life and in the life cycle of our businesses.
It's constant evolution and change occurring personally and professionally. And it's just a matter of like riding the wave, and not necessarily like just letting the wind to take you where the wind blows, but also being intentional with those things and making sure that with that change, you're adapting in the right ways.
Obviously, you've been on your own, many would say a short period of time, but I'm sure it feels like a lifetime to you already. It sure does to me. You know, over this time, what has been the biggest struggle for you in terms of your growth? And maybe before we even talk about that, tell us a little bit about how many people are working for you now? How many clients are you serving? What does that look like? Because you went from nothing to now you have this wonderful, huge company.
Oh, we're far from huge in the vision that I have outlaid for us. But I started in the summer of 22. At the beginning of 23, it was still just myself. By the end of 2023, we had 4 individuals on the team. And as of this recording in February of 24, we have 5 folks and have 2 more hires planned here in the next 3 or so months. And so we serve about 27 to 30 clients right now, depending on onboarding and churn occurring. We do veer upmarket a little bit than the traditional CAS bookkeeping practice, where our engagements are generally 3,000 to 8,000 a month, depending on complexity and how we've stepped in into various roles within these companies. As far as greatest struggles are concerned, I was talking to a mentor recently about how if I was an advisor to my own company, a financial advisor, a CFO advisor, I would say, objectively, you guys are doing really well. Your balance sheet looks healthy. Your month over month revenue growth looks really solid. Your profitability metrics, all these things are really good. Now, as a founder, as the person who will have the most passion for the business out of anybody that exists, I still feel the stresses of the smallest of things that occur in the business. And it was maybe an unanticipated thing in that I struggle a lot with letting these small stressors, these micro stressors build up over a period of time. So it's, did I remember to put that reimbursement through? Did I file that bill correctly on behalf of a client? Is this client going to pay? Oh, that bank feed got disconnected. You know, all of these small things that seem insignificant, gosh, they just build up. And I just didn't anticipate and really struggle with managing that and talking about it in a really healthy environment and ultimately just tracking it for my own mental health purposes.
That's real talk right there. I'm sure everybody who's listening can relate to that. And people don't really want to admit it, but everything you said there, especially in the last couple of weeks, like you said, it's February, we're in the height of tax season. You're not preparing taxes, but it's the same thing. Oh, this bank feed I'm having an issue with. And it, all of these little things add up. And it's not like you're having a bad day, but it's like a bad moment or just these things that you have to take a step back and think like, okay, these things are always going to happen. And as an owner, we are obsessive with controlling these things and making sure that things are going right out the door. But we can't be perfect with everything, right? Nothing's ever going to be 100%.
I used to have the fear of my clients leaving me. Like, I would next day wake up and all email me and say, hey, you're fired. So it happens to everybody. Everybody that owns a firm or a company, they have this fear. I think also it's a defense mechanism in a way to keep you on your toes and get better. Yeah. Because anxiety and fear kind of makes you prepare better. And you need that in the day-to-day, I would say, as you grow in your firm and establishing yourself. But from your side, you're unique in a way that, one, like your website is like one of the best websites I've ever seen, like design-wise. I like the way you price things. On your website, you don't put what your prices are. You put examples of your clients you have right now, which is unique. I like it because it's difficult to just, hey, this is the price we have because everyone's different. And I also like the name of your firm. So how did you come up with the name Full Send Finance? Was that initially your goal to just have a name, not your personal name in it, but a branding name of a firm?
Yeah. So I wanted originally to have a name that evoked some type of emotion or passion or evoked something within somebody that they could relate to, particularly next generation, because I know that those are going to be the individuals that I'll be hiring largely. And so I had a whiteboard full of names. I really liked the name Kayak. So if somebody wants to use that, they could take it. But like, if you think about a kayak, it's the same forward as it is backwards. And like when you're kayaking down rapid, it can be really exciting. But I ended up circling the name Full Send on my whiteboard as I reflected upon a ski trip that I went on with a corporate group where we got our skis over the ledge, over the top of this mountain, getting ready to drop in. And in the background, somebody yells, hey, just send it. Go full send. And so in adventure sports, typically what that means is you got 100% commit. You just got to do it. And you got to give it your all. So when you're diving in, when you're jumping into that bowl, when you're skiing, you got to commit to a line. If you're not committed to that line and you go offline, you're going to fall, you're going to crash down the mountain. So when you commit, you got to be 100% all in. And so in serving entrepreneurs and founders, it really resonated with me because I want to be 100% committed to my clients and their expertise and our commitment to excellence service. But also our clients, our founders, they're executives that want what's best for their company. They are all in for what they're doing in their businesses. And so for me, there's a really great parallel there, but also a term that resonates widely with folks that can go full send in their personal lives.
How'd you come up with the pricing style? First, did you struggle with the pricing when you first started? Every firm struggles with the pricing, and I struggled with it. Because you start with a certain price in the beginning because you don't know your value, and then you start going up from there. What's your method behind that?
Yeah, it's a great question, Bilal, because I think it's so easy to just look at what other people are doing and say, this is the pricing structure I need because this is what they're doing, while also recognizing that you have a unique skill set, a unique perspective, or a unique value proposition to clients. Everybody has a unique value proposition. And so to take a cookie cutter approach that somebody else has is more often than not a very wrong way to price. That being said, when I started, I used the very standardized medallion pricing of bronze, silver, and gold. Now, I named it Startup Scale and Full Send packages, and they had bookkeeping and advanced accounting and reporting and all these things that you could opt into a package. Now, prices were also published, and it was a starting price of X, Y, and Z, starting at $1,000. Now, what I found in displaying that publicly on the website was that prospects would come to me and they would expect that price that I have based on what package they were interested in. They would price anchor to $1,000 a month. And then I would have to go through scoping and say, oh, well, actually, this is going to be $2,200 a month because you've got 22 accounts, you've got a high degree of complexity in your revenue recognition and X, Y, and Z. But they didn't really care about those things. They just wanted that price. And so it was really difficult for me to set quality expectations with having that type of structure. And at the same time, it made it very difficult for me to reprice if they didn't want to go up in a tier in a medallion because I didn't have the right infrastructure for pricing based on growth and changes that occur within clients. All that to say, we have a value-based pricing model. It is custom to every client, but I still want a prospect to come to my website and have a really quality expectation of what a general price range is. And so that's what we've tried to do, is just set a general expectation for anybody coming to our site to say, hey, here's a good ballpark of what to expect when working with Full Send. It's been helpful in client conversations because they're not anchored around a specific price that they expect. Whereas if they go to maybe a competitor or a different website, they might see starting at $1,200 a month. And so they come into that conversation thinking this should be $1,200 a month because everybody inevitably says, our books are really clean.
Those famous last words. Oh, it's easy. It's straightforward. I know everything. I do it myself. It's great.
Which is never the case.
You've really put yourself out there in a unique fashion compared to other accounting firms, like of the older versions of accounting firms. And just to kind of circle back on the branding, like hearing Full Send and seeing like your personality through the videos that I've seen, this is the first time that we're speaking today. It just gives me this like really vibrant, awesome feeling like I'm going to get that kind of service from you if I'm a client of yours. So that's amazing that just with two words in the name of your firm, you've been able to build this feeling for new clients. So many people just pick a generic like, oh, the name of my company is my name, you know, and this brand that you've built is so strong.
That means a lot coming from you, Kelly. So we've been connected on LinkedIn for a while. And yes, it is the first time chatting, but also I've seen a lot of the stuff that you put out and I respect and admire it so much. And so I've been looking forward to this conversation for a little bit now. But I wouldn't say that, you know, evoking that emotion through a name, or I don't believe that the name in and of itself is better or worse than having your own name be your firm, because ultimately it really comes back to what do you want out of your firm? And when I started Full Send, I want to build a large organization in which we have multiple service lines where Full Send is really a brand that people can resonate with, both clients and team. And so from the beginning, I wanted to have that and I've started to do that. Now, in what you're characterizing of what you've consumed content-wise on LinkedIn, that's really become a part of my personal branding strategy, which is largely one-to-one with the Full Send brand today. But there are three objectives that I try to accomplish anytime I post something online. The framework that I use is that I want to either inspire, I want to encourage, or I want to educate individuals through my content. And so if I can accomplish one of those three things in every single post, then I feel like I've accomplished my mission. And so the fact that you've experienced some of that gives me a little bit of hope that framework is working somewhat to resonate back to the Full Send brand.
I'm glad you brought up the social media aspect because I owe a lot to LinkedIn and the connections that I've made there. And I really owe most of my business to those connections. And I think I've mentioned this before. I don't get a ton of straight business to business referrals on LinkedIn. It's not direct clients, although there are some, but sure, it's mostly other professionals that I'm connected with who have given me business. Does that resonate with you? What is your experience there?
Yeah, it's interesting because LinkedIn is also kind of my primary medium, social media channel. And there are really three distinct audiences that I'm speaking to. One is the target market, the client side. One is the potential employees and like recruitment side of it to get other people excited about our brand for us to eventually recruit them. And then the third one is for connections and partners in industry. So other folks that could refer business to us. So certainly three audiences that the education, inspiration, and encouragement is filtered through content towards those audiences.
You've got a very clear method for what you're doing.
It's unique.
I love it.
I like it. You should be a coach.
Maybe I will. But also, that is a direct input of my time. And I'm also trying to reduce the dependency of revenue on my time. So I don't know if I need to do coaching or not.
What's your ultimate goal with the firm? Like 10 million, 20 million? 5 million, what's your ultimate goal?
Numbers, not numbers.
Yeah, man, it's so funny. It's not numbers. Like realistically, it's not numbers. Originally, I'd put something on LinkedIn to the fact of I'm trying to build a $10 million firm. And while that's true, I don't think about Full Send as an accounting firm. I think about it more as like a holding company of multiple service lines. And so we want to create an environment where we can bring in really skilled people who are passionate about entrepreneurship, and then layer in kind of a brand infrastructure and administrative support behind the different lines of service, whether it's accounting, finance, design, data, HR, sales, like you name it along that spectrum. We want to have a really clear and concise way that we can deliver excellent back office services through like stoked people that are excited to be there, that live great lives, and quite honestly have a far better connection to their personal life than they do their work life, because ultimately that's what we're all going to be walking away with, not being known as, oh, Kelly, she was a great accountant. No, it's going to be like, Kelly was an awesome family member. She was an awesome a daughter, a mom, whatever your hobbies are, things like that. Like that's what we're going to be remembered for, I think.
Okay. So you know what? As we're wrapping up the show, I just want to also close with your dedication to helping others in the accounting community. You are another fellow CPA who wants to, you know, prop up other CPAs. Wow. We're not in competition. We're here to support each other. What works for you could work for somebody else. Let's talk a little bit about that, what your plans are for 2024. Tell us a little bit about your podcast, and then we can close up the episode.
Yeah. So our mission at Full Send Finance is to elevate financial data. And that is a very, very big pie in the sky mission. And that mission has impact across our clients, our team, and our industry. So when we talk about the industry, I'm very passionate about ensuring that kind of the legacy of what we do is sustained and that we're able to preach that to the next generation, get them excited about that. So encouraging and inspiring other firm owners and relationships in our network to kind of level up their game, to preach the message and to raise compensation for the next generation to keep them involved in our profession. It's getting involved with technology partners, Intuit, with Gusto, getting involved with AICPA, Financial Sense, with these organizations who are on the front edge of creating technology for our industry. And then the last piece is just being involved personally, physically, being at conferences, being present, and then bringing people alongside of me that I can help elevate to help them kind of preach similar messages, because a rising tide lifts all boats. And I believe that a lot of people say it, but it's very true. And I'm excited to see more people continue to be beacons of hope for our industry as we move forward.
So if anybody wanted to reach out to you, first of all, I know you're going to be speaking at AICPI Engage. That is June 2nd through the 6th, I want to say. So get your tickets. Other than that, is LinkedIn the best place for us to find you? Or Bilal has mentioned your wonderful website. I've already been poking around. It's gorgeous. So where can we find you?
Yes, I'll be at Engage speaking. I'll be at Bridging the Gap and QuickBooks Connect speaking this year as well. So those three conferences for sure. You can always find me on LinkedIn at Roman Villar, CPA, or at howdy@fullsendfinance.com.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us on this week's episode. Thank you for your patience with me with botching your name, because words. I am the worst with pronunciation. I'm going to own that right now on this episode. And tune into the next episode, guys.
Before we sign off, remember to share this episode with fellow accounting professionals.
Building the firm of your dreams is a journey best taken together, and by sharing, you're helping others on their path to success.